Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse number 18. To all of our guests, again, we say welcome. Thank you for coming and being with us today. What a powerful song. The deep cries out to the deep. One of the most miraculous and wonderful things about walking with God is every single day He tries to bring us just a little deeper into Him. No matter how much you have learned about Him, and no matter how much you've learned about the Word, every day you can learn a little more and go a little further and be a little bit more obedient. Amen? Praise God. I remember when I first received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I walked with God for quite a few months, and power of the Lord, and God just changed my life, delivered me from so many things that had me bound as a younger man, and walking with Him and learning with Him. And then He would just show me things that I didn't know. And I could have took the attitude of, I'm saved, everything is fine, everything's okay, and all of that good stuff. Catch that for me, buddy. Right, thank you. And said, well, no, I'm fine where I'm at. But no, I said, if it's in His Word, I want to obey it. I don't want to let tradition or religion or my hard-headedness, which good Lord knows, look at your neighbor and say, man, you look hard-headed. So I didn't want to let that stop me. I want to please one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? And in pleasing Him, we will please others to a certain point, especially our loved ones. Being obedient to the Word of God. But I want to please Him. I want to look in the Word. Now, I'm going to take us on a journey today, and I need you to stay with me. It's not going to be a long journey. It's 12 o'clock. We'll be done by 3. I got things to do. Tell your neighbor, say, stay with the preacher. So you have to follow me from beginning to end. You can't lose me. When I am done today, hopefully, by the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are many people in here that God is going to show you something in His Word. And I'm going to tell you from the very offset of this message today, the very offset. I know I have you standing. Just bear with me. If your knees hurt, you can be seated. That I am after you. Tell your neighbor, he's after you. If you have never, I'm just going to tell you right from the outset, if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, I am after you today. And you are going to hear from the Word of God how beautiful and how powerful baptism in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, can be in your life. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. So now that you know why I'm preaching, set up all your guards, build your walls and your defenses. None of them will do you any good. Because the Word of God is going to penetrate straight into your heart. And you're going to know today, without a doubt, the only biblical way to be baptized is in the name of Jesus Christ. Every other way is man's way. It's not the Bible way. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, everyone say, all power. All power. Say, all power. Say, nothing left for nobody. Jesus wasn't walking around picking up scraps. He had it all. All power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse number 19. Go ye therefore, and everyone say, teach. Say, teach. We're talking about the purpose of the church in 2015. And I'm going to be dealing with two purposes. One of the purposes of the church is to teach. The other is to get you baptized in Jesus' name. So that's why I'm after you. It's my job. It's what I'm here for. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Everybody say baptizing. So two things were commanded of Jesus Christ to his disciples or to the church, and that is to teach and to baptize. Okay? How do we do that? Everyone say in the name. Say in the name. Say singular. One name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Then here he goes again. Doing what? Everyone say teaching. Teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we're not going to be able to get into all of this, but the purpose of the church is to teach and to get God's kids to observe, not some things, not things that feel good, not things that are just pleasant, but all things, to observe the word, all of its commandments. Somebody shout hallelujah. Father, what we need in the house today is revelation. I ask you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, bring revelation into this congregation. Let us see, hear, know, and understand the word of God. Let it come into our hearts, oh Lord, as a seed into fertile ground. Let it grow and take root and be strong. Father, I pray, God, against all things that would hinder the word today, against tradition, against, oh Lord Jesus, indoctrination, against stubbornness, against false doctrine. I bind it in Jesus' name. I loose truth. I loose truth into the house of God today. And if you want truth, put your Bibles down and clap your hands with all your might unto the Lord. Clap your hands with all your might unto the Lord. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! God is good. God is good. God is good. God bless you. You may be seated. Right before the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to get something into you, so I'm going to do more teaching than preaching. So you just got to stay with me. If you see your neighbor nod, just elbow him a little bit and say, hey, you need this. Before the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very last command that he gave to his disciples, what that was, that they were to go forth and do what? They were to go and teach, and they were to go and baptize. Everyone, everywhere should obey all things whatsoever they had been commanded of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you, as I did a moment ago up front, I am here today to get you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do I want to do that? Because the Bible tells us it is for the remission of our sins. As part of the church, I am commanded by God to teach, to preach, and to baptize. What do I need? Or you would ask the question, do I need to be rebaptized? Let me ask you this question. If you found out that your marriage document was not legal because the right signatures were not on it, would you take the time to go and re-sign to get it right? Well, it's the same thing with baptism. When you are baptized, you marry him. You go down in the water, the old man. You come out of the water, a new man. The Bible says, in Christ. Why? Because we are buried in Christ. We marry him. And I don't want no other name on my marriage certificate but the one that I am married to. I'm not marrying three people. I'm only marrying one. We're not polygamous. We serve one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism in you all, through you all. Hallelujah. This is the opportunity that God is offering you today. Tell your neighbor, God has given you an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity. I know you love him. I know you've given him your heart. But like that song said, he's wanting to bring you out into deeper waters. He's wanting to lead you a little further today. And so it is my obligation, my duty, my commandment of the Lord to do my best to get you baptized in the biblical method and way of baptism. It is also my responsibility to teach you that you might be able to observe all things that Christ has taught us. This is what the church has been put in the world today for. No wonder the devil has tried to convince so many and so much of the religious world that baptism is not necessary. In fact, it's hardly ever taught at all. Let me tell you something, friend. Jesus said it's more than just believing. In Mark 16:16, he said, "He that believeth and is." He that believeth and is. He that believeth and is. The same shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He told Nicodemus in John 3:5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is why we must believe the scripture as it comes forth from Christ. He said in John 7:38, he that believeth on me as. Is it up on the board? Read it loud. He that believeth on me as. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 tells us he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Stay with the preacher. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. The devil has also convinced the church not to preach all of the statutes of the Lord Jesus Christ. They only preach the ones that do what? That tickle the ears of the people. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But the true church will preach all of the commandments of God, whether they are pleasing to the flesh or whether they are not. But I'm here to tell you, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction unto righteousness. Give me a little bit more volume up here. Why is that? The next verse lets us know in 2 Timothy 3:17. Why do I need all of the commandments? Why do I need the whole counsel of God? Why do I need all, not just the things that, you know, that talk good to me and make me feel good? Why do I need the things that bring rebuke? Why do I need the things that bring correction? Why do I need the teachings that kind of go against the things that I might believe? I'll tell you why. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants you to be through and through. He wants you to be godly from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. Now, I cannot preach or teach all of God's word today. For some of you would be like when Paul the Apostle preached for 5 hours and the little man fell out and broke his neck. The problem with that is I'm not sure I could raise you from the dead. So maybe one of these could. Maybe I could if God would allow it. But we won't go there. So I'm going to choose baptism today. Look at your neighbor and say, he's after you. Better than that, tell him the word of God is after you. Now, I want to tell you from the very up front here today, and I'm going to show you scripturally with the help of the Holy Ghost, that there is only one name in which we can be baptized into. It's the commandment that Jesus gave. Go ye therefore unto all nations, baptizing them in the name. At that point in time, he doesn't give the name. He does let us know that whatever that name is, it's the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, the world has taken that verse and they've gone out into the world, and what they've done is they have repeated his commandment. They have not obeyed his commandment. He didn't say, go baptize in the titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, find out what the name is. In fact, better than that, he told them the name. He said, go baptize in that name in whom all power in heaven and in earth has been given. Tell your neighbor, stay with him. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men what whereby we must be. Now Jesus said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What we have found today is that the majority of all of the religious world, as I said earlier, is repeating that commandment. However, what we want to do is obey the commandment of God. Now, since the Word of God, hear me now, since the Word of God, not man's opinion, not man's teaching, not man's twisting of Scripture, but the Word of God is the only true and pure, undefiled, incorruptible, undisputable, perfect reference that we have. Therefore, we must make sure that our teachings do not deviate, go astray. We don't even want them just to resemble the Word. We want them to be an exact image of the Word of God. We want to make sure that we dot every I and we cross every T. Can you say amen? So the question is, what is the difference of the words of Jesus and the words that his disciples used, and why is there a difference at all? Now, first of all, let me assure you of something. The Bible is not misprinted, and the disciples did not misinterpret. So that's two things you've got to get in your heart and mind. And that'll do away with the old cliche. I would rather take the words of Jesus than the words of Peter. Now, I'm going to be kind to you, but Matthew 28:19 is not the words of Jesus. Matthew wrote those words. So really, you're taking the words of Matthew over the words of Peter. Now you're dealing with two men. Who knows who's right? I got a feeling they're both right. And what we have to do is study the Word of God to find out how and why. The Word of God is so pure and powerful. And it will lead us. It will not leave you befuddled or confused in your mind or in your spirit. So let's take a trip with the disciples. In fact, not only did they not misunderstand, not only did they not misinterpret, but look at Luke chapter 24 in verse number 44. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That what? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Speaking of Jesus. Now look at verse number 45. Then he opened their understanding. Everybody say, the disciples understood. Now what did they understand? He opened their understanding that they might understand the. Come on, I want you to say it. He opened their understanding that they might understand the. The disciples understood Matthew 28:19.
They were given divine understanding according to the word of God. He opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Look at 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, here's what you need to understand. Remission of sins is baptism. So how do you know that? The Bible tells me. I'll show you that in a second. Remission of sins is baptism. Here in Luke, right before the ascension, he says, go and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. It's the same thing that Matthew wrote. Go and baptize how? In the name. In the name. That name happens to be the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. We'll show you that in just a moment. Tell your neighbor, he's after you. Tell them the word's after you. Everybody say remission of sins. It's baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. My Lord, I hope my voice holds up. Dear Lord in heaven, help me. Y'all don't pray against my voice, you people out there that I'm talking to. I'm just here to help you. Look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, now remember what Jesus said, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached how? In his name. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? That remission of sin should be preached in his name. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? For the remission of your sins. The Father did not shed blood. He was the Spirit that conceived in Mary. The Holy Ghost did not shed blood. That's simply the Spirit of God. It was Jesus Christ who came to this earth and shed his blood that our sins could be remitted. And only his name can remit your sins. Everybody say, baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16. Now why tarryest thou? Arise and be baptized. That means read. When I stop, that means you read. I've been doing this for 30 years for you. Now why tarryest thou? Arise and be baptized and... Acts 22:16. And now why tarryest thou? Arise and be baptized in? Doing what? Why? Because remission of sins is to be preached in his name. And so we can see that one of the things in particular that Jesus, now watch me, one of the things that he absolutely gave them understanding about was baptism, because the Bible says he opened their understanding that they might understand all things, right out, understand the scripture. Right after that, he spoke to them. He said, now go and preach and teach repentance and remission of sins in my name. So the disciples had revelation of this thing called baptism. And so why the difference? Let's look at Matthew 28 and 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now to baptize using the titles, watch me now, is to assume that each of them have a different name. That's right. If it says baptize in the name, and you're going to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are assuming that each of them have a different name. I'm going to show you scripturally that the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. There's only one God. He's got one name. I said there's only one God, and He's only got one name. Everything else is, well, just titles. So you're assuming they have different names. But the word of God is very clear that there is only one name, in the name. So the first thing we need to do is establish what is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to help Brother Peart right here real quick. And Brother Peart, your son has preached for me, right? Right? So that makes you a father? Huh? Is Father your name? What is your name?
Peart,
okay. And your dad may be with the Lord, but did you have a father? That makes you a son. Is your name son? Well, what's your name?
Peart.
So you can be a father and a son and have the same name. You can play the role of a father and the role of the son and still be the same person. Are you telling me that God can be a father and God can be a son and God can be a spirit and still be just one God and still just have one name? Tell your neighbor, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. So the Son, the Bible tells us, was God manifested in the flesh. It was one of the roles of God. It wasn't two gods. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We know that that is Jesus Christ. So God was the Father of the Son, but His name was not Father. It was only a role that God played in order to bring about the plan of salvation. John 5:17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hereto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but He said also that God was His Father, watch it now, making Himself equal with God. Because the Jews understood something you and I did not. The firstborn inherited everything from the Father. And anybody that said God was their Father, that meant they were going to inherit all power on heaven and on earth. Boy, I heard that somewheres. I think he said, "I have received all power from heaven and earth." But we'll deal with that a little bit more a little bit later. They picked up stones to stone him. You're a man. You said, God was your Father. You're making yourself equal with God. You're calling yourself God. You see, they understood what the Messiah meant. Okay, that's another subject. Hebrews 1:5. I'm talking about relationship. For unto which the angel said he at any time. Watch this. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. What is God doing? He is establishing a relationship between the spirit and the flesh. He is not creating a second God. He's letting us know, Timothy did, that flesh was him that came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh. And we beheld the glory like as of the Father. And wow. Verse 14, John. I missed the last few words. What can I say? Thank God for Bible quizzers. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. Okay, here we go. Now that we know that... We all know the name of the Son, right? Everybody say the name of the Son. I don't want to hold you too long. I won't have time to baptize all of you. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save save his people from their sins. What we need to do is establish what the name of the Father is. Exodus 6 and 3. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Psalms 83 and 18. That men may know that thou whose name alone. Everybody say whose name alone. Is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. John 5:43. Here it is. Jesus is speaking. I come in my Father's name. Watch me. The name Jesus. Look it up yourself. Go to Hebrew. Look it up. Greek. Whatever you got to find it under. The name Jesus simply means Jehovah salvation, or we can put in a couple of if, ands, and buts. Jehovah has become my salvation. So when Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, because there was a lot of people back there who were baptized or who were named Jesus, but Jesus was separating his name from all of the other common names. And he said, but what I need you to understand is that I come in the name of the only God whose name is Jehovah. I am Jehovah who has come to save his people from their sins. When you put that together, you get Jesus. That's why you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It's for the remission of your sins. It's Jehovah coming in flesh, shedding his blood, baptizing you in his name, and remitting your sins. Oh, I wish somebody would get excited about the word. All right. Now, I want to look at this in another biblical perspective. I come in my Father's name. You receive it not, if another shall come in his own name, he'll receive. I come in the name of Almighty God, Jehovah. Of course, they knew his name was Jesus. So they knew his name meant Jehovah salvation. Jehovah has become my Savior. So when he said that and he linked himself to the Father, to God of the heavens, then he exposed himself as God in the flesh. But he's in the sonship. Follow me. He's in the sonship. Now, I come in my Father's name has a second biblical background. And that is, it is directly related to the commandment of the firstborn or the birthright. Now, a birthright was an honor given to the firstborn. Bestowed upon him would be double portions. If the father had other sons, then even the firstborn would have to share some of his power. Some of the portions would be given out. Now, when you are an heir, when you are the firstborn, Paul tells us in his writings in Galatians that when you are a child, you are walking. They know who you are. They know you're an heir. They know you're the firstborn. They know you have rights to all that the Father owns, all that the Father has. That when the Father dies or he turns it over to you, whichever may be the case, that you will have power over everything that the Father has ever had power over. You will have everything, all things, all power on heaven and earth will be yours. And this was the power of this thing called the birthright. Now, if you had brothers, then you would have to, you know, share a little bit. But I read somewhere in the Word of God that Jesus was his only begotten. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not only was he the firstborn, not only did he have the birthright, but he was the only one. There was nobody else. That meant all power in heaven, all power on earth would be given unto him. His name is Jesus. Wait a minute. There is one more other thing. However, if the firstborn does not please the Father has the right. And we see this throughout all of history. The Father has the right to remove the birthright and give it to the secondborn or whoever he wants to give it to, because the firstborn did not please him. Back in the day, he knelt down upon the ground, and the Bible calls Adam the son of God. In fact, it calls Jesus the second Adam. But Adam the first displeased the Father, but Adam the second pleased him. How do you know that? Colossians 1 and 19, where it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's the Father passing on all rights, passing on all power, passing on all glory, and saying, all that I have, all that I am, it is yours. You are God in the flesh, and your name is, and your name is. So he came, he was born. Thou shalt call him. Let's read this. Watch this. Okay, hold on. Everybody say, water break. Whew. At least it's not as hot here as it is in Jamaica or Liberia. I'm like water breaking every 2 minutes. Water break. So I can say a couple more words. Now, God's not going to share his glory with anyone. So look at Matthew 28 and 18. This is why Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, what? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I am the chosen of the birthright. There is no other son. I receive everything. I inherit everything from my Father. That's why he would say, the works that I do, they are not me. They are of my Father. I don't really have time to go into all of that. But when he was walking in the flesh, he was walking as the Son of God. He was walking as the heir of God, Hebrews tells us. But yet he got his instructions from the Father. He was totally submitted to the Father, the flesh. But he said, no, 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 no. He said, what I say, I hear first from the Father. He said, in another place, what I say, I hear from the Spirit, because they're the same. In another place, he says, no, no, no. The works that I do, they are the works of the Father. What is he saying? I am now walking in the flesh. I'm in the mode of the Son of God. Yet I still have all power, because whatever I hear the Father say, I'm able to do it. But when he died and resurrected, he stepped into the full lineage of glory and power, and it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead bodily would dwell in him. He's no longer answering to the Father. He is the Father. He's no longer hearing from the Father. He is the Father. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. The Father turned everything over to him. And now the only God that you and I will ever see is Jesus Christ. There is no other God. There's only one throne. He sits on it. Look at Revelations. He's the Almighty. Okay, let's continue. I've only been preaching for 40 minutes. I know preachers, they hadn't even warmed up in 40 minutes. You got one thing on your side. I'm getting old and I'm whooped. So he's coming. He comes into full power. And one of the responsibilities of the sons of the birthright was to carry on the Father's name. The whole purpose of being the one that had the birthright was to make sure the name of the Father didn't die. It's not your name that's important. It's the Father's name that's important. It's one of the duties of the birthright. And if you've got brothers and sisters, you have to make sure that they don't bring shame to the name. And you've got to make sure that they don't shame. And if they do, you cut them off and cast them out or whatever's got to be done. It is your duty to carry on the lineage and the name of the Father. That's why Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name. I didn't come in my own name. He said, if somebody else comes in their own name, them you will receive. I've come in my Father's name. I've come to carry on His name. I'm not here in a different name. So the name of the Son is? He came in the name of the Father. That's where He got His name. It's where I got my name. My dad's name's Kyle. I'm a Kyle. I got three sons. They're Kyles. They're going to have like 50 kids. I'm going to have a bunch of grandkids, and I'm going to pick one of them out to be my favorite, and I'm going to buy him gifts and nobody else, and I'm just kidding. And they're all going to carry on the name, the name, the name, the name, the name, the name, the name. Listen, and whatever you marry, that's what's so, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not even going to go there. Whatever they marry takes on their name. Yeah. Huh? I wish I had a woman up here. That looked funny. Come here, baby. Now listen. 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 My wife had a famous name before she met me. Her name was Elizabeth Taylor. That's right. Elizabeth Taylor. And she was proud to walk with that name. But when she married me, she said, can I go Elizabeth Kyle Dash Taylor? I said, there's no dashes in my family, baby. You either giving me all or you ain't giving me nothing. I want everything, right? And so, no, that didn't happen. She didn't ask that, by the way. She's a lovely, submissive, God-fearing woman. And we got married, and we had to change her Social Security card. It's now Elizabeth Kyle. We changed all those. So when the license, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. All those tickets, we could have kept them in your name. We changed that all over to me, because whatever the Son brings in, whatever He touches, whatever comes His direction, His name doesn't change that way. Their name changes. Oh. No, you don't go down in the water and think you're going to keep your name and going, you're going to keep your nature. No, 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 no. When you go down in the water, you marry Him and you take on His name. There's no hyphens here. There's no dashes here. He doesn't meet you halfway. You come all the way to Him. Come on, clap your hands and give God praise. Give Him some praise. And He said He comes in His Father's name. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call His name Emmanuel. Now this word Emmanuel means God with us. It's only, listen, I feel like I'm losing some of you. Look at your neighbor. Is he losing you? Stay with me. Because we're going to end this thing right. We're going to end it right. She'll call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah 7 and 14. So in Matthew 1 and 21, what do they do? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name. Now, wait a minute. Isaiah prophesied and said His name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. But here you're calling Him Jesus. That's right. Because the name of God is Jehovah. And so He's God with us. I'm going to show you in a second. He's God with us how? In salvation. So His name become Jesus. Why? Because He's Jehovah with us in salvation. That's the name of Jesus. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Look at 22. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which spoken of by the prophet. That's Isaiah. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus means literally Jehovah, salvation. The part of Jesus being Jehovah, the first part of Jesus being the name Jehovah, and the latter part of Jesus being the word Savior, and when you put them together, you got God becoming our salvation. His name never changed. Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. When he took on the name of Jesus, he fulfilled every prophetic prophecy about God coming to save his people from their sins. And his name is Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when you say in the name of Jesus, you are saying, you have said Jehovah and you have said salvation. That's why when we baptize you in the name of Jesus, what we're really saying is Jehovah has saved you. Oh, I figured that'd be a little bit better than that. I'm going to try that again. When we baptize you in Jesus' name, we're saying Jehovah has saved you. When they baptize you in the titles, they're just giving you position. There's no power there. Woo! Man, this is good stuff. Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Watch this. The Mighty God. So the name of the Son, his name shall be the Mighty God. It shall be the Everlasting Father. It shall be the Prince of Peace. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 20:19, go ye therefore all nations, baptizing in the name of who? The Father, the Everlasting Father, the Son. Also, the Mighty God, and then the Son, whose name shall be Jesus, and then the Holy Ghost, who is the Prince of Peace. It was the fulfillment of Isaiah 9 and 6. Jesus was trying, or he was not trying, he was revealing to his disciples that I am the Father, I am the Son, I am the Holy Ghost. Now go baptize in my name. And that's why Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, music, if you'll come. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was never meant to be done any other way. Every place in the Word of God where the Bible talks about baptism, it's always in the name of Jesus. The religious world cannot prove it different, so they say things like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Really? Find that for me in the Bible. And I'll quote to you almost verbatim. In fact, let's just put it up there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Is that right? Or is it 3:21? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. I hope you're right, Brother Luma. Yeah. Smart guy. He's our prayer pastor. He's got it together. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now. I want you to say it. See, when I say it, you say, oh, that's just the preacher. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now. Not to put in the way filth of the flesh. It's not taken. You don't just take a bath. We don't even offer you soap. But the answers of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now watch, you need to listen to this preacher because I'm in the Word. They'll say, well, all you have to do is, now leave it up there, all you have to do is confess your faith. Baptism is confessing your faith. The answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, you are saying to the world, you are saying to the devil, you're saying to God, you're saying to yourself, I believe that God came in the flesh. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he resurrected from the grave. You are confessing that you are a believer. You say, well, I thought my faith was enough. No, James said faith without works is dead. You can confess it with your mouth all you want, but you don't put your faith to work until you go up and obey the Word of God. You say, well, we're not saved by works. That's exactly right. But we are saved by obedience. See, I can't work my way into heaven, but when I'm doing something to obey God, that's not a work, that's obedience. There's a difference. God says, repent. Well, for me to do it, that's a work. But I'm not being saved by my work. I'm being saved by my obedience. Now, if I think I can go out and do things and make my way into heaven, then I'm grossly wrong. I'm mistaken. But if I think that I can do nothing that the Bible commands me to do, then I am also grossly wrong and mistaken. Let's stand. Everybody standing. Nobody leaving. Armed guards at the door. I want you to ask your neighbor, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Now, some of them will say yes, because like me, like I did, yeah, I didn't have a clue. Of course, I didn't have somebody yell at me for an hour either. I think you have a clue. So if they said, I'm not sure, why don't you tell them, well, why don't we make it sure? Now, let me clarify something, because I know this is a religious thing. Most churches, when you baptize, you're joining the church. No, we don't practice that at all. First of all, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're joining the kingdom. And that's what you're joining, the kingdom of God. It is, we're not saying you're going to become a member of this church. You're welcome to, but we don't want you to feel that we're trying to make you do that. Do you understand? I want to baptize you in Jesus' name because it's biblical. And I know, sir, ma'am, what it will do for you. It will wash away your sins. It'll cleanse you. I've never met a person that was baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I couldn't take you to the place, tell you the day, and most of them give you the time. It's powerful. And if you're wondering, I don't remember. I know I was baptized. I was 5, or I was 7, or I was 12, and you know it was by so and so. And now I don't want to be. I'm trying to be as nice as I can because, well, I'm a nice guy. But if you were baptized by someone that was not an apostolic preacher, you were baptized in a denominational church, and as I was, and as everyone in this building was at one time, I was raised Baptist, God-fearing, God-loving people in the Baptist church, and God is reaching for them and touching them. But they baptize in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So will you allow me to be really just kind of straightforward, but still love me and not be offended? Because I normally don't do this, but if you were baptized in a Methodist church, an Episcopalian church, and a Catholic church, if you were baptized, somebody help me. Baptist, Lutheran, any denomination. I know that sounds mean, but listen to me. Because they're wonderful people. Don't misunderstand me. They're wonderful people. And many of them love God, and they're reaching for God, and God is bringing them out. How many of y'all were of a denominational church before you became apostolic? Raise your hand. All right, let me do it this way. How many were not raised apostolic? Now, a lot of you are not raising your hand, and I baptized you. So I know better. The majority of us, and the ones that didn't raise their hand, probably not sure. Very few were actually raised in an apostolic church. If you were born and raised in an apostolic church, I want to see who you are. Don't put your hand down, because I want to see who you are. I want to make sure you know what you're talking about. I'm looking at you. Sister Spears, you need to straighten Brother Spears out. You've been in this all your life. You need to fix that guy. Okay, put your hands down. If you were not able to raise your hand this last time, chances are almost 100% that the first time you were baptized was in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. However, if since then I have baptized you or another apostolic preacher has baptized you, then you have gone down in the name of Jesus. If you love God, I know you do. I know you do. You wouldn't be here. If you love the Lord, every eye closed right now, you love Him. You love Him. And you would do anything to be right. Father, I come against every lying spirit, every spirit that would try to speak and bring confusion and fear. The devil doesn't want them to go down in the name of Jesus, because when they go down in the name of Jesus, the blood's applied. And when the blood is applied, He has no power over you when the blood's applied. And the devil doesn't want you to go in that water in Jesus' name. I wonder right now if you're standing by someone, someone maybe that has not been baptized in Jesus' name. I wonder if you could take them by the hand and say, let's just go pray. That doesn't mean we're going to baptize you. We would never do anything that you don't want to do. We would never do anything that you don't want to do. But there's a hot baptismal out there ready to baptize you in Jesus' name. So I wonder if we'd start making our way down to this altar for a little bit, church. Some of us may want to just come down and thank God for revelation, and thank God that you've been baptized in His name. But if you could just take someone by the hand and say, let's go pray. Let's go talk to God. Let's go speak to the Lord. We need to be buried. We need to be buried in the name of the Lord. I wish it wasn't so hard to get people to respond to this, so hard to get them to be baptized, but for some reason it is. It's a difficult thing, but we try anyway. We try. I think one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen was when Josh Heron preached. I think it was Josh.
on a Mother's Day. It was on a Mother's Day. And we had 28 people on a Mother's Day get baptized in Jesus' name. It was so incredible. It was so awesome. And we baptize people every week. Every week. And I'm going to tell you how much we believe in this, because it's the Word of God. If someone wants to be baptized in the week, you say, during the week, what do? We'll find a swimming pool. We'll go to the beach. We'll go wherever. We'll do whatever, because we don't believe in putting it off. We believe that it's part of the plan of salvation. They said, men and brethren, what do we do? Peter, what do we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Philip was on a chariot with an Ethiopian. He explained to him Jesus Christ out of the Word of God. He preached to him the death, burial, resurrection. And the Ethiopian said, here is much water. What doth hinder us? Let's go down. I want to be baptized right now. I want to be baptized right now. I want to be baptized right now. I want to go down in the name of Jesus. I want the blood applied to me. But I've already been baptized. But if you're not sure how you were baptized, but is it necessary? Why take a chance? Why take a chance? According to the Word of God, it's very important. And it's important that it's done right. And so why take a chance? Why don't you just do it right? I was baptized 4 times. I was baptized in a Baptist church. And then I got the Holy Ghost and I went to a charismatic church and they baptized me in the ocean. And then I switched over to Assembly of God and I got baptized because, you know, you have to get baptized to join the church. So 3 times. And then finally I realized it wasn't man's church I needed to join. It was God's. And I saw the revelation of Jesus' name baptism through studying the Word of God, and I found me an apostolic preacher. I called around until I found somebody, and I went down in the water at 1 a.m. in the morning. Because when I saw Jesus' name baptism, I wasn't going to bed until I was buried. Because it wasn't about religion to me. It was about Him. When I realized I needed to take on His name, I found me a preacher and I got baptized in the name of Jesus, and I've never done it again since. Because when you go down in the name of Jesus Christ, there is no doubt. You know without a shadow of a doubt. So we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to pray with you. If you want to be baptized, you can tell anybody in this congregation, hey, I'd like to be baptized. We've got one right here. God bless you in Jesus' name. Somebody else, let's go ahead and get him ready, Brother Powell. Someone else, you want to be baptized? Wave at me. We got another one. Where? Anybody else want to be baptized? Come on, that's just, there ought to be 15 of you. There ought to be 20 of you. You have no idea of the powerful message God just preached to you. The door He just opened to you. The opportunity that He has given you to fix your marriage license. To get the right name on the license. Spiritually, of course. All right, we're going to worship the Lord. Let's pray with one another. Think about it. Think about it. We want to baptize you in Jesus' name. It's worth it if that's the only one we do. But I wish there were others. You need to go down in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. I love you. Let's worship the Lord, church. Let's praise God. Let's pray with one another.
No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Sing this, no sweeter name.
No sweeter name, no sweeter name have I ever known.
No sweeter
name,
no
sweeter name of Jesus.
Say that one more time. No sweeter name,
no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known.
Sing, you are the life.
You
are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only to get
sing,
away.
You are the light.
You are the light to my heart and my soul.
You're the light to the
you
darkness
are
around
the
me.
Light to the darkness around
you
me.
Are the
you
hope.
Are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only to get away.
You're the truth and the way, the truth and the way. Help us sing, sing, no sweeter name.
No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known.
No sweeter,
no sweeter name than the no. name of Jesus.
There's no sweeter name. Up saying, you are the light.
You are the light to my heart and my soul.
You are the light to the darkness around me.
You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only to get
so
away.
You are the light.
You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to darkness
around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only to get away. In the name of Jesus. Sing it again. Sing Jesus. That redeeming name. That most powerful name, Jesus. Where every sin is washed away, Jesus. Sing, you are the light.
You are the light to my heart and my soul.
You are the light
to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only to bear the way.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
There's power in the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, every demon has to tremble at the name of Jesus. Say it one more time, say Jesus.
The hopeless and broken, you are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way.